probably would have you. W8FU. W8RCY from W8FU. W8FU, AF8BXS calling. KF8BXS clear. Pass 1212. W8FU. KF8BXS, good morning. Still BXS? Yes, it's my melodic dulcet tones you are hearing, KF8BXS. When's that new one coming in? Well, everything was processed last week, and they say it could take 18 to 20 days, so hopefully by the end of the month I'll have it. I thought it would be faster than that. Anyhow, I'm at 12 in DeQuinner. I got to run over to 12 in John R. real quick. I hope the place I'm going to is open. But if it is, I got a 1 minute stop. If not, I'll be on my way. Copy that. Just take your time. KF8BXS. W8FU. Good morning.
Yeah, I was just turning on the Square Lake Road, and I was between all these, like, catching crews, trucks, and I pull on the Square Lake Road, and I'm, like, right in the middle of them. And then they just stop to do their work. And it's like they had a maneuver to get me out of there. I was completely surrounded by their trucks.
Well, there you go. And they're not open. Great. Check the hours.
Who's not open?
Store I gotta go to. Don't open till 10. Oh my god. What the hell?
Sounds like an after breakfast stop.
You wanted to go to the Jerry Whip there by my cardiac doctor's office is what you wanted to do, and you found out they don't open till 10. Sorry. Actually going to the cardiac office. Yeah, Dr. Gupta's office is right next door to that little ice cream shop for me. So I asked him when I'm done seeing him, can I, like, walk next door and get an ice cream? He goes, you don't have to tell me that. All right, see you in a few. KF8BXS. Ashok Gupta. Just passed it. All right, anyhow, I'm going to go through the drive-thru at Starbucks, and then I'll be there. Phil?
Yeah, I'm still 20 minutes out, so save me a spot. Well, were you looking for a certain coffee place that was closed?
No, I gotta get my wife cigarettes. Wild Bill's that I go to. It's the only one that consistently has her particular make and model or whatever.
Okay, they got one of those rigged. They're like, you know, a block from my house. Yeah, I remember when my dad used to go get cigarettes for my mother. And we had connection with some kind of like a wholesaler. They were a candy and tobacco wholesaler, and we used to go there and buy these big cartons full of this kind of shit. And I was yelled. We kind of would yell at him, "Why are you helping her do this?"
Yeah, well, that doesn't necessarily work. It's one of the things. It's one of my most hated things is buying cigarettes. Can't stand it. But whatever.
Yeah, I'm even afraid to ask what they cost these days. I remember when I worked in the drugstore as a teenager. I thought the price was outrageous then. I mean, people would spend, $5 for a full carton. I said, beer just ran across the road.
Well, these days, a carton sets you back about $70, give or take. And that's for the bargain ones. The name brand ones probably up into the 70s. So $70, give or take, depending on brand. Yay!
Wow, that's not an incentive to quit. I don't know what is. That's insane. Well, you know, all the complaining stuff we did. My mother spoke non-filtered. Philip Morse, and then switched to Paul Mall. And she lived to be 97. Never had got cancer, but she did have very serious emphysema, macular degeneration, joint issues, you know, all the fun stuff that goes along with it.
They just can't get my drink right. It's supposed to be 4 shots of espresso and just a ladle of foam, not even milk. So it shouldn't weigh anything, right? It comes in a little tiny cup. It's just basically it's 4 shots of espresso. Almost an insignificant amount of milk product, like a ladle of foam. Not even a ladle. Spoon, a spoon's worth of foam. Yet they hand me this thing and it's heavy, so I know they put a lot more milk in it. God almighty, can't they get it right?
I saw a news report that Starbucks is, sales are way down and they're rethinking their pricing structure.
I used to go there a lot more frequently. Now, not so much. And I don't drink the fancy drinks anymore. I used to drink, if I could get a cappuccino, like a triple shot cappuccino, and I could keep it under 4, I'd splurge on that, you know, frequently. But, you know, now that drink's, you know, like $5-6. You know, screw you. So they got other drinks that are, you know, under $4 and $3, you know, so I'll pay a little premium for their stuff, but I'm not paying $5.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not a serious coffee drinker, and I would not pay $5 for a coffee. I don't care how good it is.
Well, some things life's too short for crappy coffee, but But no, you know, I mean, you're going to pay for a coffee at Wendy's or Wendy's, Tim Hortons or something like that. You're going to pay over $2 now. And if you just get coffee from Starbucks, you know, you'll pay a little premium. You'll pay like $3. So, you know, is it worth 75 cents to me to get Starbucks? Yes, absolutely. But that's my limit, you know. The foo-foo drinks are, you know, then the foo-foo drinks take it up to, you know, $4, $5, $6. Forget that. That ain't happening. Anyhow, but I will pay a small premium for a better experience. In my opinion, there's some people that think their stuff's total trash. Tastes burnt.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't drink enough coffee to even know a better one, a good one from a bad one. But my wife drinks a lot, and when we travel and stuff, she really likes the McDonald's coffee. And we get the senior one, which some places it's like 75 cents. Other places it's more. And we get as much as $1.25, depending on the franchise. But she says it's really good.
There you go. I wouldn't say I've warmed up to it, but I'm trying to like it. It's consistent, which is important. I think that's why there's... I once read that that's why people so love McDonald's coffee, because it's consistent. Doesn't matter where you go in the country. You stop and get a cup, it's exactly what you expect. So if you get used to it, you got a reliable cup of coffee anywhere you go. And so I get that. And it is convenient, right? So I'm trying to acclimate myself to it. It's tough for me because I'm a kind of an espresso drinker, but it's not bad. All right, I got Donald here with me. I'm going to chat, and then we'll see you when you get here. How far out are you?
11 minutes. See you there. Hey, be here.
Hey, Phil, drive safe, and we'll see you in a few. W8FU. WPAE monitoring.
Good morning, Walt. KSA Dance Mobile.
Good morning, Dave. On your way to look at the house or going to breakfast?
No, I don't do much looking at the house. I mean, there's not much to look at. There's so, yeah, now they're going to do all the drywall and stuff, but I was paying more attention when they were doing the outside stuff. But now I'm going to my parents. We're going to pick up donuts and just visit for a little while and see what the rest of the day is going to do for us. I don't know yet.
Yeah, it looks like another beautiful one. I just got up again, got up first time at 3 o'clock, went back to bed at 7. Just got up for the second time. Hey, on my tablet, it went to like a split screen. How do I get rid of one half of it? You know what I'm referring to? Or am I too dizzy? Not dizzy, but I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. You know the border between the two is like a border. If you just put your finger on the border and then slide it off to the side, like making the window bigger, it'll make it full screen and then it will get rid of that.
Wow, you're right. I just did it. That's why you earned the big dollars.
Yeah, it took me a while to remember what that was. It's like, oh yeah, that's where they can put, you can put two apps full screen next to each other, and sometimes it works, but yeah, that's how you get rid of it. Apple does try to make it easy. if you can remember.
Roger that. And where do you get your donuts?
Dunkin' Donuts at Mound and M59. And they seem to have a good variety of them. There's other Dunkin' Donuts that they just like, they're like just a quick drive through, you know, they don't have all the variety of donuts. And but this one's really good. These guys, they know me because I go there every week. So it's like, okay, pull ahead.
Yeah, a good donut, you're right. Some of these places have been taken over by people from India. And, you know, during the Punchki day, it was like, you know, you got to be kidding me. What is this, a Mumbai Calcutta donut? And you're calling it a Polish Punchki?
Yeah, this is ironically, this one's run by Indian folks, but they're really good. I mean, they do a good job. I mean, they really they're taking pride in their work at this place.
Good. No, I don't mean, you know, it's negative against the whole tribe of people. Yeah, other than that, nothing much else going on. I think you probably heard me mention I took a tumble here about a week and a half ago. I didn't break a hip. I sort of hurt the inner muscles, and I feel better today. I think by the end of the week, I'll be good. NHCCE John picked me up the other day, went to the Lark in a park. Haven't been about, I think I missed about three of them, which I hate that. And good get-together at Metro.
Yeah, I keep on trying to sneak away from work to go there, but every time, see, all my calls are around, like, the noon hour, or, like, the 11. Or by the time I get done with all the calls around 1 o'clock, it's like, do I want to drive out there just for a little bit and, you know, and fight traffic and all that stuff? So that's the only reason I haven't been going.
Well, I don't blame you. Yeah, if you can't put in the, you know, many hours or what have you, sure. Well, is it this coming week or so the kids get back to school?
Yeah, they already had their first week going back. So I mean, they're already started. I mean, they're homeschool, so like they only go to they go once a week meeting in person with other kids, and then the rest of the week is just like, you know, homework, and then they meet again.
WBAD, is that once a week through the public schools, or is this a private thing?
It's a group of moms that get together. I forgot what they call it, classical conversations or something, and there's like they go from kindergarten up to high school age. But, you know, by the time they get to high school age, they may want to go to a proper high school, but I don't know. It's really, we're leaving it up to the kids, and we're watching their progress. As long as they're making progress and stuff, then that, you know, we're fine doing it this way. But if they start, you know, kind of slacking, but no, they're doing really good though. They're at their level that they're supposed to be. So that's good.
Oh, okay. You know, it's up to the individuals. I know, like the high school, all three of my sons went to in Warren, Lincoln High. If I was a parent around there, I don't know if I'd send them there. They have a lot of trouble. What has happened over the years when the kids get out in the family members are there to pick them up because they come in from Detroit, school of choice. There's been a lot of gang fights. I think one Warren police officer, she just got back on duty after months of being toppled over and somebody kicked her in the neck on the ground, and then she had a lot of surgery and recovery. So, it's, you know, areas like that are getting mean. So, you know, if you homeschool, can't blame people.
Yeah, the only thing is you gotta have a committed parents or, you know, that because, you know, the parents acting like a teacher. So there's a lot of folks that don't do it right. Like, they just think that they're going to not put their kid in school and then try to do their job and stuff like that. So you really got to be on, you got to be in the right mind. You got to be disciplined. You got to, as a parent, and because you got to act like a teacher. And I think that's what gives it kind of a bad name. You get a lot of these parents that don't do it right. You know, they don't put the effort in, and so that's where you get the bad rep. But so far, you know, my wife's been able to do it. I don't know how she does it, because she works at night on the weekend, and then she does it all during the week, and she's actually, like, directing it now, and I don't know where she gets the energy for this stuff.
Wow, you married well. Yeah, my wife could handle something like that. I couldn't. I'd give him a coloring book and say, you know, you just graduated from the 10th grade.
That's what they do in normal school.
Yeah, education has changed, you know. Christ, when I was in high school, you had machine shop, auto shop, more of a, you know, hands-on one that gets you to work at Dodge Main attitude. I mean,
it's all ordered in there. No, it's not that. I mean, I oversimplify it, but they do give kids coloring books to calm them down, at least they did during COVID or something.
Yeah, speaking of which, WV80, they're coming out with another COVID shot, just one, like a booster, and I'm going to go get that. I know some people don't like it. I could care less about their feelings. And I think I'll get my flu shot this coming week, and then get my booster when it comes out.
I'm surprised they haven't combined it yet. Just make the flu and the COVID all on vaccine all in one, and then all inclusive.
It probably wouldn't be a moneymaker for the pharmaceutical industry.
They could charge twice as much for the one shot. They could do that. Yeah, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't watch the news, you know, on TV, but I was reading about Robert Kennedy, what the hell is his name, Jr. And he's dropping off out of the presidential race, and I go, that goof never had a chance anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of, hey, vote for me, you're going to make me the president. We got to get America back to the way it was.
You know, your children, when they get to be your age and my age, all the statistics, all the real straight skinny will come out, and you'll wonder, what the hell was I, what was going on in the political scene when I was, a child.
Yeah, I can look back at that. So I was a child when Nixon was just out, you know, when I was born or something. So look back and like, what the heck happened back then? So yeah.
I find it very interesting as an observer. You know, yes, I'm going to vote. Yes, I'm going to vote like I've always voted Democratic. Are they any better than Republicans? No. But you got to vote for one of the two. And it's in my Polish DNA to vote Democratic or Democrat. And, that's the way life is. What do they do for me personally? Nothing.
They're rushing me to get the donuts. I forgot what we were talking about. See, mine's a terrible thing to waste. Our waste is a terrible thing to mine.
Yes, mine the waste is a terrible thing to mine. But anyway, that's what I like about my tablet here. I can just read the news I want to read.
Yeah, do you get a lot of advertisements on the side and stuff?
Yeah, that drives you crazy. For years, my son had the digital LA Times, or he still does, and he would flip it over to my email, and every day I would read the LA Times. Nothing political, nothing, just articles. You know, you'd have good articles about maybe the Indian reservation or what's going on, and, you know, articles that had nothing to do with political. It was just articles about life, and it was a wonderful newspaper.
Yeah, I don't read too much or watch anything. I'm kind of out of the loop. When somebody says somebody did something, and I'm like, what? Then I gotta go look it up. But yeah, I just kind of just stay out of it. I know I'm uninformed, but I figure I got enough people around me that will inform me. And then if it sounds crazy, then I gotta fact check them.
Oh, no, it's not crazy. My brother's like that. You know, he said, I give a shit. He said, I can't change it. I'm not going to worry about it. He's going to head down to Mexico again with his travel trailer and his pickup right across the border with Texas. I forgot the town. Anyway, it's right on the ocean. He loves it there all winter. So he's going back there. He has some medical things to wrap up in dental in California. So he likes that kind of life. I'm getting, it's like, the hell with it. The only thing I find interesting, Dave, is things like Trump saying that Freedom Medal that they give to civilians, the Medal of Honor is not as good as that Freedom Medal. And this is what Trump said. He said, because the people that get the Medal of Honor get shot up by bullets, or they're dead. Where the Freedom Medal that the presidents give to civilians, they give to people who are alive and healthy, more or less. I'm going, you got to be shitting me. Well, I think that men should not dye their hair that much because it keeps in their brain the chemicals.
Oh, the East Side Posse is out there.
Yeah, WPAD, who's that, do you know?
I don't know, somebody that doesn't like what you're saying. But anyways, I've almost destination, so I gotta let you go here. I'm sorry. And a half mile. So I'll listen out and then I'll be clear after yours. KFS.
Okay, buddy, enjoy the visit, WPAD. Oh, it's the veteran who made the noise. I feel sorry for you. You study to get a license, you make a noise. WPAD.
Is there anybody that breakfast at the Rams Horn or ordered a BLT? This is ADPR.
Did anybody leave their cell phone at the restaurant? ADPR from W8FU.
M-A-K-T-T.
CQ, CQ, from Whiskey 8, Victor, India, Juliet.
Crickets, man, crickets.
Yeah, it's a nice day. We just did some taking some stuff to the recycling center over there in Macomb. So now we're heading towards the water.
Roger, I just got a few minutes here. I got a few odds and ends I got to do, and I got to get out the door. I'm got the kids all afternoon, all evening, through tomorrow, the grandkids. So just getting ready to cut out of here in about 20 minutes.
Very good. Got an event planned for them?
Yeah, they got the in the park event going on. We'll probably do that, among other things, but yeah, maybe some bike riding, and maybe we'll do the Kirchville in the park. We always enjoy doing that. And I don't know, we'll see. Play it by ear. K8RUA.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hey, Sean, heard you're going to that event on Kirchville. Unfortunately, I was thinking about going, but there's also an event similar to that in St. Clair Shores that we are riding our bikes to this evening. So, going to miss you.
Oh, okay, yeah, figures. Yeah, no, that's real close to home, so I figured, you know, we could, well, I don't know. You know, I'll play it by ear. I got to get there in a little bit, check with my kids and all that, find out. But that was kind of the plan. So I don't. I guess I could run them up there. I don't know. Let's see what's going on. But have fun. I didn't know that they did them up that way.
Yeah, those things are always fun. Yeah, they're doing one in St. Clair Shores, so we'll be there this evening. But all right, I'll let you gentlemen talk. I just heard you guys going back and forth and heard that you were going to be on my side of town, so just wanted to chime in. Have a great day, gentlemen. K-R-U-H, Monson.
Yeah, well, you have a good day. Yeah, there are lots of festive things to do this weekend. You know, I know the water park up in Brandenburg is open, you know, the spray pad, the splash pad thing, that's free. There are a lot of cool things going on, so we're going to need the grandkids out to put these going out with his auntie and his uncle with Bare Naked Bay, which is basically the between the North Channel and the Middle Channel, so we're going to go visit them. That's our plan.
Sorry about that. I was fuddling around with my headset trying to turn it off so it would get 10 minutes of charge here before I left. All right, Wally, I'll tell you what. I'm going to go. It looks like the mail just pulled up. I'm going to go grab the mail, check it out, see what else is going on, and I'll be out here in a little bit making my way over to the festivities. Have fun on the Bare Naked Lady Bay. Catch you later. W8FU.
Yeah, very good. Remind me, I've got to tell you about one of our vendors is in town. They took us out to dinner last night, and I never did it, but we went to the top floor of the Red Oak Center at that restaurant up there, and it was quite cool. So I got to tell you about it. Never been up there. I've lived here since year 2000, and it was my first time going all the way up there, so it was neat. Chat later. NAKBB.
Oh, cool. That sounds like fun. I haven't been up there in decades. I mean, it would have been, wow, 80s probably since I was up there. I've only been up there like once, sometime in the 80s, I think it was. So I'm sure it's nothing like I remember. All right, cool. Look forward to hearing about it. See if I got to put it on my list. W8FU.
NKPP. W8FU. Killer Fox 8 Squirrels. Hey, hey, what's shaking? Just saying goodbye to the old house. Came here one more time to go through it. I brought the kids with it so they could take some pictures and memories or whatever they want to do. And now we are going away from it.
Yep, no matter how nice the new place is, you always remember all the times you had there. So, but on to bigger and better. But is this it? This is when do the other the new owners take occupancy?
The closing's on Monday. So any time after that, so after 1 p.m. or whenever we sign all those mountains of documents, then it's theirs.
Roger. And so you did the key turnover and everything today, I'm guessing. And then you said something, you thought maybe the person getting it was an investor. Did you ever verify that or not or what?
Yeah, I'm not sure because I was looking at the closing documents. I think they're going to sign that it's a primary residence. So I think, he's married. The guy's married. I mean, because, that's what it says in all the documents. A married man, blah, blah, blah. And then there's a form that you file for taxes for making it your primary residence. I'm signing one that says I am withdrawing this as my primary residence, and then he's going to sign one that says he's going to make that his primary residence. So I don't think it's an investor. I think it's probably some guy that's going to probably fix it up, maybe live there for a little while, maybe sells it in a few years. I don't know. I don't know. I haven't met the guy.
Old school climber. You buy, live there while you do this, do that, and the other, and then wait for the market to rise a little bit, and then sell and move up. That's the way we used to do it. The people generally weren't buying houses just to flip. You'd buy a house, and you'd live there, starter home, and then you'd fix it, or do this, do that. And, then you wouldn't really be flipping. You'd sell it to move to something better, and then you'd leapfrog like that. That was generally the way to move through the system. I think the pure flipper, investor flippers were a later phenomenon. I mean, I'm sure they've always been around, but to the degree where every Tom, Dick, and Harry that thought they could swing a hammer was doing it, I think that's a whole different kettle of fish.
Yeah, those days are pretty much over. You used to be able to do that up until about 2006. But now there's actually New York Times has a calculator on there, rent versus buy, and they kind of put in some numbers, and then it kind of gives you like it's not completely accurate. They can't predict the future, but they give you, like, estimates whether you're worth, based on, if you're going to pay for repair costs and all that stuff, price of rent and all that stuff, whether it's better to rent versus buy. And a lot of the younger folks are finding that it's better to rent. It's not that they're lazy and they don't want to buy a house. It's that they you know, in their situation, their dollar goes better to rent and then put their money into investments and let it grow in investments. And then when they are ready to buy a house, they've, you know, they've saved up enough as investments and they can move in. So I have a couple of folks at work that are kind of in that, like, attitude. It's like, well, it's like I did the calculations. It's better for us to rent. And they're renting a house, and they're completely happy with it. And they want to buy a house, but it's like, you know, the market's just weird right now.
Yeah, the same goes for buying a car. I mean, it's a much bigger scale, but buying a car versus leasing a car. When I was growing up, it was like you would tell somebody, I want to lease a car, and they're, oh, my God, it's, you know, throwing away your money. You pay all that money, and you got nothing at the end. They go, you're not looking at this the right way. It's like, you know, you can either put this massive down payment to get the payment here, or I can get the payment here, and then if I like the car, I can pay that big downstroke you paid at the beginning at the end.
Yep, and if the car is a complete lemon, you just turn it in and go on to the next one. But yeah, the best strategy is a used car. And if you're able to keep up with the maintenance and all that stuff, but you can't do that anymore. You can't really work on your own car anymore like you used to be able to. So it's a trade-off.
Right, I'd have to see the cost analysis, but yeah, you're right. You know, you get something coming off a 2-year or 3-year lease, you know, clean, it's been dealer maintained, might even have a little warranty left, you know, and pick something like that up. The original owner takes the big hit, you know, off the showroom floor for having the shiny new car with 0 miles. You get it, you know, at a considerable discount. And, you know, there could be some real value there. If it was a good car, 3 years, nothing happened to it, then, yeah, it's not bad. And then what you do is, you know, presumably the money that you don't spend, you know, on a new car, let's say that, you know, the used one costs you $350 a month as opposed to, you know, $550. You take that $200 and you put it in a repair fund and, you know, you should have it covered. But, you know, nowadays you can buy these darn, you know, factory bumper-to-bumper warranties. I've got, on this little thing, this Escape, I've got a 7-year, 70,000-mile bumper-to-bumper Ford factory warranty. It's not even, you know, a third party. And, you know, so this thing, and it's transferable. So if I go to sell this thing after 2 or 3 years, you know, the person that buys it's going to get low miles because we don't put 10,000 a year on. And they'll get a low mile clean car with still, you know, 4 or 5 years of warranty. Should make it quite marketable. But anyhow, you know, as far as the lease versus buy, yeah. You know, I like leasing. I bought this one, and probably going to regret it, but I like leasing because I always said, I haven't found a car yet I want to keep after 3 years. You know, 3 years, I'm tired of it, and I want to move on to something new. So, you know, I could, at the end of 3 years, I could say, is the car worth considerably more than I owe on it? Buy it and take the profit. If it's worth less, give it back and say, sayonara. Nice, you know, wouldn't want to be a, get another one. So, you know, yeah, it's you know, that's nice. And if you really like the car, if you have a car for 3 years and so, and you said, wow, that was the greatest car we ever owned, you know, then buy it, provided it ain't, you know, severely, you know, over market.
Yeah, that's what we did with the Traverse. We bought the Traverse because, you know, coming out of COVID, you remember the situation. They weren't really building cars. So I just figured it was, rather than look for a car that's been sitting on the lot for a while that they've been, you know, scrapping parts out of, just buy that one and keep it for a little while. And then that worked out, you know, out of COVID, but we were able to do something, so that worked out. So I've been making a lot of weird transitional choices the last couple of years, but so far, we've been navigating it okay, I guess.
Yeah, you're not ever going to make the perfect choice every time. You know, you might say, boy, I wish I would have done this or that. But, you know, in general, if you have a plan and you stick to it, you'll be okay most of the time. You know, I've had a few misses. I've had a few hits, too, you know. And so, you know, it's just you know, it just depends. But I ended up buying this one. I figured it was, you know, it checked every box as a good car for, you know, I don't know if Aunt and my wife's ever going to drive again. But this car is, in the event she drives, you know, this is, it's not too much for her. You know, she can get in and out of it pretty easy. It's comfortable. It's still got all the amenities. It's got storage in the back for me and in a 2-inch trailer hitch and 3,500 towing capacity. And instead of buying a bigger vehicle for a lot more money, I bought a $3,000, you know, trailer. And so now with that trailer in this car, you know, I really got every box checked, so no complaints. And then, I don't know, you know, when I retire and I no longer have a work vehicle, maybe I'll think about something different. You know, maybe I'll get that pickup I ever wanted, or maybe I'll get, you know, something really comfy and, you know, just the trip car, the car for taking trips. Or maybe I'll go electric. Who knows?
So many options. Yeah, you got to keep one car probably for your wife so that she can get in and out easily. I mean, that's kind of what my parents are doing. They have got that second car, and my mom used to be able to drive. She can't drive anymore, so they just use it for doctor visits and stuff. And, you know, that car might be one of my, given to my kids for some reason, so when they learn to drive, just learn to drive on that. But, yeah, you know what I see a lot, though, is a lot of pickup trucks. I'm seeing a lot of Teslas lately, and I'm seeing a lot of pickup trucks, so there must be really good competitive lease rates on pickup trucks.
Leave a little gap in there in case anybody else has some food for thought. But, yeah, I haven't really paid attention. I have been seeing those god-awful, I guess they're pickup trucks. You know what I'm talking about? It looks like something out of a bad 80s video game or something. Is that the Tesla pickup?
Yeah, the Cybertruck. It looks like something from Back to the Future, like all silver. Is that what you're talking about?
That's probably it, you know, but I've seen a few of those running around, and I'm thinking, what the hell is that? It is the god-awfulest looking thing I've ever seen. You know, they probably think, oh, this is cool. No, not really.
Yeah, I'm going to send you a video later regarding the Cybertruck. You'll get a kick out of it. But yeah, the Cybertruck, that's what it is. I didn't know what it was either until I looked it up online. I was like, oh, that's the Cybertruck. I saw it driving down 23 Mile Road one day. The one that I really like, you know, as far as like electric trucks, if somebody was in the market for like the Rivian ones, they actually look like a real truck, and they're expensive though. I think the really good one is $100,000. I don't know who has the money for that.
Well, I'm behind one of those god-awful Mustang electrics right now. I don't know what the hell they were thinking with that. I mean, call it something else. Don't call it a Mustang. Whatever the hell it is. I've got no objection to it. I got the objection to it being called a Mustang. It ain't no Mustang. Yeah, I like the Maverick. That Maverick truck looked pretty cool. I'd have probably got one of those instead of this when I was looking. But I understand they had some trouble with that, so maybe I'm glad I didn't. And I'm not hell-bent on a hybrid or an all-electric for sure. Hybrid, you know, I could do. I don't know, maybe next time we'll see. It just comes at a premium I'm not willing to spend at this point. But I do dig the idea of never, you know, not have to buy gas. That's pretty cool. You know, for the way we drive, we probably never have to put gas in it. And or so rarely, it would be, you know, wouldn't be funny. We do a lot of little short trips. And very rarely do we ever go long distance. But, so, you know, a good hybrid, or even an electric would work for us. But I feel that you don't have a pretty conditioned place to store it. I don't like electric. I don't. My car's set outside. So if I had a garage that at least kept the temperature, you know, above 40, you know, which it would be the goal, then, you know, then I'd feel comfortable with an electric. But so I got that going on. No electric for me. Not purely electric. Because that just seems to wear and tear them, you know, but keeping them out of the climate a bit really seems to make them make them last a lot longer. You know, one, as far as electric vehicles go, have you seen that Lyric, I think it is? Is that a Cadillac? That thing is sweet.
Yeah, I have not. You know, my whole theory with electric is I feel like it's worse for the environment than gas, if you look at what you got to use to build them. But I probably won't get any electric unless it's like, unless you make it cheaper than what a gas vehicle costs. That's probably going to be the showstopper for me. I mean, I don't like to spend money on the cars. I just want a car to drive around, get me from point A to point B, and be comfortable in it, maybe have some, you know, display, you know, the displays and all that stuff, but I don't need much. I like my little tiny Trailblazer here. It's been doing me well. It's a nice little get-around-town car, and then we've got the Equinox for the family car, which we don't really drive that much. Everybody fits in the Trailblazer, so if I'm driving, we're in the Trailblazer. If my wife's driving, we're in the Equinox, and it's been working well for us, and putting a lot of miles on the Equinox, so I might end up trading my wife at some point when the lease is, you know, when I got more, I'm like budgeting the miles because they're both leases, so that's what I'll probably do. It's like, oh, that one's getting high on leases, take my car for a while, but the only issue with that is she does not take care of the interior of the car. It gets trashed, and but I don't want to say anything bad about my wife, but she just doesn't take care of the cars inside.
WYM.
Yo, ARP, what's up?
Hey, I've been listening to you guys talk about the electric cars for a little bit and kind of laughing because I was in the lithium-ion battery industry for over a decade, and I know a lot of the ugly truths behind that whole industry. And I forgot the name of the other gentleman, but he hit the nail on the head. Actually, electric vehicles cause more damage to the environment, cradle to grave, than an ICE car. And all of the EPA ranges listed on those vehicles are grossly, and I mean grossly, exaggerated. There's been all kinds of studies done, like on the electric F-150. You know, where they claim 200 and some miles of range, you know, on a full charge. And when it's fully charged, it'll display that range until you actually put it into gear and pull out of the garage and all of a sudden it drops some. Heaven forbid you want to tow a trailer, that 200 and some mile range drops to about 90. And don't even think about trying to take a trip across the country because they tried to do that with that F-150 Lightning and had all sorts of trouble trying to get the thing recharged at different stations. Either the charger's not working, or a line around the corner, or something. They're not compatible. Just all kinds of stuff. Back to you, Sean.
So it's suffice to say you won't be getting one. Well, it's every, you know, what I object to is a couple of things. Well, first, my objections. My objections are that they mandate it. And I've not actually seen that, although I think there's people that would like to mandate some, you know, and some companies have decided, like, isn't Buick going to be all electric by such and such a date? That'll probably drop that, who knows, but anything that's, like, mandated, let the consumers decide. If you make a product we want to buy, we'll buy it. If you don't, we won't. You know, it's like, that's the way to do it, and, you know, having said that, you know, some people are ideal for it, Andrea and I, some people are not, people with trailers and trucks and things like that. Andrew, that'd be perfect. You know, we'd never buy gas. You know, environmental part aside, you know, we'd never buy gas. We would, you know, we just do short little jaunts up to the store and to the doctor and things like that and hardly put any miles on and, you know, but now my concerns, you know, and I know there's more than this, you know, but these are the ones that mostly bother me and I think represent the meat and potatoes of it. One, there's no infrastructure for it if we're going to do it on anything more than a, you know, than a here and there, you know, or even some, there's some percentage at which, you know, we exceed and we don't have the infrastructure, period, end of story, not even close. And so the billions upon billions, trillions of dollars it might cost to get the infrastructure up for some sort of massive push toward electric, forget it, ain't here. So you got to figure that out. That's number one. And number two is that I don't want to be stuck holding the bag on one when the batteries go tits up, because now I got to spend, you know, I got old, ice cars that, they're in the 200,000-300,000 miles and stuff like that. And sure, I might have to put an engine in it, $500-600, but I don't got to re-battery it for like $9,000. You know, so that I don't want to be holding the bag on one when it needs to be re-batteried. So those are kind of my things on it. But I think we need to keep working on it. You know, because in a way, it's like when the ICE engines first came out. You know, there were tons of farmers that looked at them and said, why would I get that? I got my horse-drawn wagon can haul far more stuff at, over far greater distances and, this, that, and the other. This is ridiculous. Yeah, right. And then eventually, it caught up and exceeded the performance, and then horses were no more. Maybe eventually electric will get there. Who knows? But you gotta start working on it. So that's kind of my multi-factor.
Somebody's stepping on me. Anyways, I gotta get out here. I gotta get gas. Can't hate us.
Okie doke. All right, Arp. Anyhow, yeah, so that's, like I said, I got all sorts of thoughts on it, pro and con, so that's where I'm at.
Yeah, there's definitely a couple things I agree with you there, conceptually. One is you are 100% on the money, and again, studies have been done. There's just no way, even with some fixing up of the infrastructure, there's just no way that it can be dealt with, especially with this ridiculous push to go to solar and wind power. It's just not there. Another fallacy about the whole lithium-ion thing is that, they claim, lithium-ion batteries are recyclable. Well, technically that's true. There is a process that exists to recycle lithium. It's totally not cost effective, and the resultant lithium that comes out of it is not battery grade. So basically what you have is all of these lithium ion batteries that are being tossed out, and it hits a recycle center or someplace. They basically just throw it into storage. Because, they get paid a fee to take the battery and they just throw it into a, an old steel cargo container or something, some little brick structure or something. They just kind of throw it in a corner and forget about it until somebody figures out what to really do with these things. And we haven't even touched on what happens when they catch on fire, because those lithium ion packs do not need oxygen to burn. And boy, do they burn.
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen some crazy. Did you see the guy? It wasn't even a car. The guy had, I think it was an e-bike battery, and he got on an elevator. Have you seen that video? Gruesome.
I haven't seen that video, but I've seen plenty of other ones, from cell phones and laptops to razors to full-size automobiles and what have you. And now when a lithium battery goes, it goes. That's one of the interesting things about a lithium-ion battery, is that it has the ability to give and accept great charge, like a whole lot more than a lead acid, like by factors of magnitude. Like if you were to drop, like say, a wrench across the post of a lead acid battery, it would start glowing red hot. You did the same thing to a lithium-ion car battery, and the metal would vaporize and then instantly turn to plasma.
Wow, that was weird. My car auto-stopped, and when I hit the gas to bump it back on, the radio changed channels. I only missed one half a syllable. So, yeah, no, it's nuts. If you get a chance, look it up. It's there's some guy, he gets on an elevator, and he's got a, he's probably charging it. He's getting on the elevator in his apartment complex or whatever, and presumably to go down to his bike or something, and something happens on the battery. It goes nuclear on him, and he's trapped in the elevator. And it's, I'll tell you, the end of it is gruesome. I mean, it's, do you remember the old Faces of Death? They pull that
you know, that charred marshmallow out of the elevator, and it's like, oh my God. And that was just a little handheld, you know, whatever they are, you know, e-bike battery.
Yeah, I've seen so many different videos of that. But I do agree with you that their electric vehicles do have a spot in the industry, and they have actually existed for many decades in their slots and perform quite nicely. Diesel electric locomotives, there's high-lows in every warehouse that are running on electric. And, you know, I'm kind of surprised that the little postal trucks that run around on a very specific route that only put on X amount of miles, you know, maybe, you know, 10, 20 miles a day, that they're not electric. But a big part of the factor is cost. You can buy those little postal trucks so much cheaper than the battery-operated ones that it just becomes cost-effective to run the little four-banger postal trucks. WIDA.
Yep, roger. Yeah, like I said, Andrea and I would probably be, you know, really, really ideal candidates to try it. But unless I had a garage that I kept, you know, at 40 degrees, I never let it get down to freezing, you know, and I could keep the elements and everything off the vehicle and had the charger in there, I wouldn't even attempt it. You know, I want to make sure I gave it every chance to give me the performance, you know, if it could. But, yeah, like I said, for the kind of running around we do, you know, we would be a good candidate for, and I still wouldn't want to go 100% electric. I still got this wheelie kind of, wheelie feeling. So, but a hybrid, I could do a hybrid, you know, in a situation, you know, for the way we go. And, you know, I might never have to buy gas, which is kind of cool, you know, which is, you know, but, again, it's awfully complicated. It makes radios very difficult, you know, and stuff like that. So in the end, in that respect, I'm not a good candidate unless I'm not going to do anything with radio in it, blah, blah, you know, et cetera. So at least that's what I've heard. I've heard they're so bad that AM radios are just a thing of the past now because they can't get working in East Earth with all the switching supplies and things like that going on. I don't know. We can debate back and forth all day long. I do say there's a place for the technology, and I even believe on the roads as our personal vehicles, there's a role for you know, a good number of them, if the people want them. You know, so if they make something, you know, that's not at a premium that people object to, and it's you know, it's good performance and stylish, if it checks all the boxes and you're a candidate for it, your operating procedure checks it, then great, go for it. And they should be working on something like that. But, yeah, there's just so many caveats and so many things, you know, that are just flat out, you know, screwed up that it's got to get worked out. I'm fairly confident it will get worked out, but it's a ways off. any talk of, by 2029 or 2030, yeah, slow your roll there, sharp partner.
True. Something to think about with the hybrid angle is old gas. I mean, yeah, you'd probably be able to putz around and do, you know, 95% of your trips on just electric, but that means that gas just sits there. In today's day and age with the ethanol and the gas, that stuff wreaks havoc on fuel systems. So that could cause its own set of problems. And then you have the complexity of the powertrains. You have two complete sets of powertrains in one vehicle, so you got kind of twice the chance for the things to go wrong. And the stuff you were complaining about an electric car, about, you know, you don't can't have an AM radio station, well, that would somewhat apply to a hybrid vehicle, too, because, you know, you've really increased the amount of computers and whatnots that are located in it, especially on the big electric cars, because, like, you know, each individual pack in the big pack, because there's going to be multiple cell packs in a electric vehicle, each one of those has its own computer. And then all those computers are tied together and monitored by one bigger computer. And, yeah, there gets to be a lot of computer noise.
Oh, yeah, no, I had no illusion that the hybrid would be any better. I like the comfort of knowing that I could limp home on my little, 1.2 liter three-cylinder, there was a battery slash charging incident, depletion. It's a psychological safety net for me, that's my big reason for wanting a hybrid. I just don't totally trust electric, even though we're pretty good, candidate for it. Now, if I had two cars and that one was used specifically for wind, I had no danger whatsoever of exceeding its range, maybe I'd have a different thought. But enough on all that. I'm probably not going to get one because, one, I don't want to pay the premium, and two, I've had enough experience with batteries over the decades that I just don't want to have one outside. And right now I don't park my, I don't have any kind of protection from the elements on my vehicle year-round, so until I have something like that, I'm not going to consider it. And then they have to bring something I want at a price I'm willing to pay. Anyhow, I am just pulling up at my shop. I got to run in and get my computer, which I left here, so that I can, I got to go babysit for the next day and overnight. Got to make sure after I put the kids to bed, I got my computer, or I'll go insane.
All right, go get your computer, and we'll talk again another day. Just real quick, like I said, I worked in the industry. It was A123 Systems. Had 290,000 square foot building. Had a couple 300 people working in it. And out of all the people driving to work, you could count the amount of electric cars on one hand. Everybody else was driving pickups and SUVs and sports cars and European luxury cars and all that kind of stuff. Kind of tells you something. All right, 73 Old Man, WIDM.
All righty, this is generally a bad spot for me on this repeater, but I got a sign regardless. WIDM.
N1KRD. I just caught the tail end of the conversation. If either of you guys are still listening, I drive a hybrid Ford Ski Max. I don't have like the plug-in version, but radio's been working good in here for a little over a year now. Still AM radio works in this as well. I'm not sure about the full electric or the plug-in version, but so far the hybrid and radio are N1KRD.
And there you go.
W8SUN1KRD.
Hello?
Hey, Sean, name here is Nick. I caught the tail end of your conversation there talking about the hybrids and electrics. Just wanted to chime in and say I drive a Ford C-Max hybrid, not the plug-in version, but just a gas and partial electric battery running. Been running the radio in here for a little over a year now. Seems to be running good, and still have AM radio, and I don't know if that's different if you get the plug-in version or what, but I've been liking it so far.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I don't think it's, an automatic thing. I just know that they could be very troublesome for equipment. Now, the UHF, VHF, AM, FM stuff is going to be a lot less susceptible, but I like to run HF mobile, and that can be quite a challenge.
Yeah, I can imagine. I haven't messed around with HF and the mobile yet, so I'm looking around for radio, but haven't done that yet. So we'll see. Cross that bridge when the time comes.
Oh yeah, no, that's there's plenty of good stuff out there. So keep your eye peeled, and when you're ready, there's plenty of radios. I am going into the car wash here, though, so I will not be able to hear a thing in about 30 seconds.
All good. Well, yeah, you enjoy your weekend. I'm waiting on the wife here to come out of the store, and I'll be tied up myself. So we hit up you, N1KRD73Z.
Okay, rub-a-dub, here I go into the hula skirts. All right, not sure if I'll butcher it up. Was it N1KRD and W8FU?
Yeah, you got it, N1KRD.
You must have spoke before, because I recognize your call. But, I can see myself with a hybrid. I just don't know that I could go all in with a full electric at this point. And mostly it would be, to not buy gas for our lifestyle. But, I'm in no hurry to get it. Each time I go, I almost got a hybrid this time. But the premium was just a bit too much. So I refrained. I bought an Escape. And I got the Platinum, like the highest level one, and it would have just been, just a little bit more of a reach to get into it. I'm like, it's a lot of money for basically a little economy SUV. So I still not quite there yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's tough, the range anxiety. Not that I have to travel a lot on a regular basis, but want to have that option, definitely. So I think eventually here my wife's looking at getting a new vehicle, probably end up getting another hybrid, but yeah, it might be a little while before I go to the full electric, wait for the network to get developed a little further.
Roger, yeah, my wife and I would be perfect candidates for that. For a full electric, because, as long as I got this thing, which is, 100% dyno, and, but something like that, would work. I think I don't know where you tuned in, but as I was saying, we just do a whole bunch of small trips, our biggest trip's usually, 30 miles round trip, 40 miles round trip on any given day, and most of the time it's just little, 5-6 milers, to and from the store, doctor's appointments, things like that. Not even daily, so we'd be a good candidate for it, at least from that perspective. So, nice day. I am now heading down to my grandkids, and we're gonna spend some time, and got a kind of a street fair thing to do today. So I'm looking forward to that. Where about you at? I think you were up towards Flint, no?
QTH is in Southfield. Currently, I'm in the Walmart parking lot in Rochester Hills. Wife had to grab a few things, getting ready for back to school. And yeah, you're right about the weather. It's a little bit hotter than I expected today. But it should be a good one. Enjoy the summertime while we got it.
Okay, so you're local. So I'm guessing you're probably on 2-6. I don't know, you could be on a couple different repeaters, but best one for that area is probably the 2.6. It is a little bit of a hole, that area up there, for the weaker signal stuff. But you're sounding real good. You're in whichever one you're on, you're in very well. So. Okay, anyhow, I just didn't mean to shut the conversation down abruptly, but I had to go through the car wash there, went through jacks and got the car hosed off, and I wouldn't be able to hear anything with all the water pounding down and the brushes and all that stuff, so I'm going to call my YL here, let her know I'm in transit, and
if I have to stop and get anything along the way. N1KRD from W8FU after yours.
Oh yeah, no worries. Yeah, I am on the 2.6 mid power here. I'm not sure exactly what it is on UHF. I think like maybe 20 watts or so. Will you enjoy your weekend and time with the grandkids, and we'll catch you around next time. WAFUN1KRD.
KF8BOT, radio check.
Houston calling, this is Echo Papa Lima, responding.
KF8BOT, mobile looking for radio check.
Oh, John. Hey, hey, hey,
John's out there. You got a big light on over there. So this is like other stars.
KDX. Shoot you.